Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
So James chapter 3, so he writes James to the 12 tribes of Israel, it'd be the Israelites. Most likely it is after persecution has broken out on the church. You'll read that in Acts chapter 8. After the day of Pentecost, Jesus has been resurrected and ascended into heaven. The day of Pentecost takes place. The church is founded and birthed, grows to several thousand within Jerusalem. Things are going really well, but then all of a sudden persecution breaks out. Stephen is stoned at the hands of Paul. That's before Paul's conversion. And then the believers are scattered. Some of them stay in Jerusalem, but Philip ends up in Samaria. Others end up in other places. And so God used it to spread the gospel to get the believers out of Jerusalem into the other parts of Israel. And that was actually part of what Acts 1:8 says, and you will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, which is a little bit larger region, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So God used persecution to take it there, and he gave them his Holy Spirit so that even in adverse situation they would have the power, the wisdom to share Christ with the world around them. So we're in, in James chapter 3. How many noticed my wife's new glasses today? Anybody notice that? Yeah. So, all right. James chapter 3. I've entitled the message, Mature Words. So the first couple chapters of James have talked about maturity and whether in trials and testings, about how that works to bring maturity in our life. He's talked about being not only a hearer of God's word, but also a doer of God's word, right? So not just know what the word of God says, but actually live it out, and including taking care of widows and orphans and keeping oneself pure from the pollution of the world. So he's still talking about this idea of maturity, and there's been several references up to this point just about speech and what we say, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That was in chapter 1 there. So, chapter 3, let's begin with verses 1 through 4 this morning, then we'll pray. It says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. Okay? Let's see why. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man. Okay? So if you're able to control your words and what you say without fault, goodness sakes, how many times have I just said a wrong word or, you know, say something? It happens all the time, right? Okay? We all stumble in many ways, but if you're never at fault in what he says or she says, they're a perfect person, able to keep the whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. All right? How many have ridden a horse? Okay? Denise has, you have one or two? One horse. Okay? Several of you have ridden horse. So you have this big horse, right? Are they bigger than you are? Yeah. Yeah, hopefully they are. Okay? All right? I mean, you're talking about a couple thousand pound animal compared to couple hundred pound animal person. All right? But you're able to control that animal by a bit, right? Or take, for example, a ship. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. You think about that? Huge ship, and it's steered by a small rudder. It goes in the direction that you want. Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning. I pray you take it and apply it to our hearts. We ask it in the precious and the holy name of Jesus. Amen. The first point is that a tongue is a very small part of the body, isn't it? So, just to illustrate that, everybody stick out their tongue. Come on. Everybody stick out their tongue. Yeah. Okay. Some of you aren't going along with this. Yeah, have you pull it out. All right. But the tongue is a very small part of your body, right? There's other parts of your body that are bigger. Your feet, your arms, your head. Okay. Your stomach. Okay, whatever. Yeah. All right. There's other parts that are definitely bigger. All right. But yet, he's saying the tongue can be very persuasive. Can it not? Now, think about some powerful speeches that have moved history or moved your heart. Give me some examples. Martin Luther King, "I Have a Dream." JFK. Abraham Lincoln. FDR. All right. Some very popular speeches that people gave that were words, but they were able to use this small tongue here in a way that was very influential and turned the hearts of people, inspired, gave hope, gave purpose, gave dreams. Think about the power of speech and how we can use that. The first point in your bulletin there, in your program, is that words are influential, therefore direct them in a positive course. Words are influential, therefore direct them in a positive course. We all have a tongue, hopefully, okay? Hopefully you got one. And we have to understand that words are powerful, they're very influential. And how are we going to use our words? They can actually be very so influential and powerful that they can, like a rudder steers a ship or a bit controls a horse, they can be used to direct people in a positive direction or a negative direction. Now, right now we are fighting, America is involved, I guess you would say it, in a war on terrorism. We have been for many years. But more recently it's in Syria and with ISIS and this is Islamic State. And they say one of the main things that is people are pouring in to join that is just that they see these speeches. Soldiers are giving their speeches on YouTube. And that is what is influencing other people to leave their homeland. Even we've had people leave America to leave everything and to go fight and put their life on the line. To be able to have that power and control that with your words you can influence somebody's life in such a way. Think about the power and the influence that is. Think about the Islamic radical clerics that are using their words and their speech to direct the course of young men and young women to go down this radical path of terrorism and what they are doing. They have incredible influence over their lives. And see, that's what James is talking about here, is that for teachers and those in leadership, it's a high calling, and you're going to be judged more strictly. Why? Because you're given a platform, you're given a position where your words carry weight, and you have to be careful about the words that you speak. Not that you're, I cussed there, or I let a word slip there. It's more than that. It's directing the course of your words, your speech, your language, what you say in a way that points people and steers people in a positive direction. Whether it is towards God, whether it is building them up, whether it is helping them find their dream and their vision for their own life. We all have a tongue. We all have words to speak. Now, some of us are better speakers than others, right? Okay? Now, and I would never say that is my, there's definitely people that are far better speakers than me, okay? But in high school, I was pretty shy, pretty introverted. That's something that's kind of developed over time. But God can use us in a very instrumental way, for good or for bad. And the challenge here is that James is saying, you know what, teachers, use your influence, use your speech to guide people in a positive way that points them to Christ. On April 21st, 1855, Edward Kimball. Anybody ever heard of Edward Kimball? Yeah, I kind of doubted that. But he went into a Boston shoe store to buy shoes. See, there's something behind this. You've never heard of Edward Kimball. But he ended up leading to the Lord a shoe salesman by the name of D.L. Moody. How many have heard of D.L. Moody? Yeah. One of the most influential evangelists in the United States back in the early 19th century, or 1900s, 20th century. But Moody became a very effective evangelist. And so Edward Kimball, I don't know what he did for a living. All I know is that he used his words and his speech to direct a young shoe salesman and led him to the Lord to put his faith in Christ. And that shoe salesman probably was a probably good shoe salesman. You know what? He used that gift to what? Now tell others about Christ and to lead them to the Lord. We never know the people that we influence of where what's going to become of them. They might become far greater people than we ever were or ever will be. But that's the cool thing about it, isn't it? Our tongue has the power to influence others to believe in Christ, to make right decisions. We can use it to build people up and strengthen them. Words are influential. Therefore, direct them in a positive course. Let's go on with James, verses 5 through 8. He then says, likewise, the tongue is a very small part of the body. It makes great boasts. Okay? So he repeats that it's a small part. But it makes great boasts, right? Oh, I'm this, I'm that. Okay? I'm better than that person. We've never done that, right? Okay? Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Okay? Happens a lot in our country. Doesn't start out as an inferno. It starts out just like with a small spark. A fire gets out of campfire gets out of control. Somebody throws a cigarette out the window. Okay? The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. Yet the whole course of his life is on fire, and it is set on fire by hell. Wow. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed. Okay, and have been tamed by man. Lion, right? I don't know. Can you train a crocodile and an alligator? I know people have them for pets, but I don't know if you can actually train them. I don't know. Go get the paper. I don't know. My dog will do that. You come by, you know, about between 7, around 7 o'clock, and all of a sudden you see this yellow lab dart out of our house. He'll go grab the paper and come bring it back. He lives for it, so sometimes a little bit shredded, but you know, he just kind of lands on it and slides on it, and yeah, so some parts are missing, but you know, just think about the animals we've been trained, you know, whales, right? Killer whales, pretty vicious animal in the wild. They can be trained. Even snakes, I don't know if snakes can be trained, but they, you know, people, you can handle them, and people have them as pets, right? Did you know that even on the commercial airlines that they transport some very venomous snakes? Did you know that? They're down in the cargo hold. I saw that in the news this week. Some of you aren't going to fly anymore. All right, all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So he compares it to a venomous snake that is full of poison. You know, like a fire out of control, a wild animal, the tongue can bring much destruction, can it? Like a wild animal or a venomous snake, a fire. Back in October 8th, 1871, a fire broke out in a barn in Chicago. Just a barn, small fire. But it started getting out of control. And by the time it was done, it destroyed over 17,500 buildings. That's a lot of buildings. That's more than Crete. Killed 300 people, displaced over 100,000 people. Pretty devastating fire that hit Chicago. You know, and gossip and divisive words can seem small initially, but boy, they can do a lot of damage, can't they? Whether it's in a church, whether it's in a family, a marriage, a community, a place of business. Oh, you know, that tongue can seem pretty innocent, can it? But it can be so deadly, and it can be so divisive, and it can be so destructive. James says that we can train all these other things, but it's hard to tame that tongue. Now, a fire, if it's within a fire ring or a fireplace, is what? Yeah, you get heat, right? Atmosphere, it's kind of nice, right? It's a very beneficial thing. What about Doug? He breaks horses. If you break a horse, you know, you got this wild bronking horse, and that doesn't want to obey. He just wants to go do his thing. He could probably even kick you or something like that. But you get him tamed, you got a useful animal, don't you? Wow. You know what? If we can tame that tongue and surrender that to Christ, God can use our tongue in a very powerful way to build people up, to strengthen people, to influence people in a very positive way. But when our tongue is untamed, it can do a lot of destruction. It can do a lot of evil. You know what? And it's so easy, isn't it? You go to work and you hear people talking, and it happens in smaller towns. I don't know. Smaller towns sometimes have the reputation for gossip, but it happens in other places of work and bigger towns as well. But, you know, the rumor mill, the gossip goes around. It's so easy to get sucked into that, isn't it? You know? And sometimes the best thing we can do is just, you know, tie our mouth shut, right? Maybe go the other way. To be constructive. Sometimes even just to turn the conversation in a positive way. It's a hard thing. But if we're not able to tame that tongue, it can bring a lot of destruction. Proverbs 12:18, I've always kind of appreciated this verse. It says, words of the reckless, or reckless words, pierce like a sword. Okay, can you imagine a sword? And you know, you ever used words like that? Oh, somebody hurts you, and what do? You pull that sword out and you go, and you say those words and you go, whoo, take that, huh? Right? We use our words just like a sword. Man, they hurt us. And I pull that baby out, and I get him back, right? Reckless words are like a sword. But the words of the wise bring what? Healing. They bring healing. But see, in order to bring healing into the lives of people and to encourage, to build up, and to use it in a constructive way, we have to have control over this part of anatomy of our body, that tongue. And to use it in a constructive way. So the question is, how are we going to use our words to destroy or to build up, to strengthen other people? Let's move on here. And this third point kind of... did I give the point there? Words are powerful, therefore tame your tongue. All right, number 3, 9 through 12. With the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father, with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. Isn't that kind of ironic? Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Okay, the questions are what? No. Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Now, I've never seen is there such thing as a salt spring? I've never seen, you know, most of the springs I'm aware of are fresh water, all right? But James is saying, you know what? You can't, out of a spring, out of a well, you can't get both fresh and salt water. It's either one or the other. If you go to a fig tree, you're going to get what kind of fruit? Okay, it's not a trick question, okay? Figs, all right. Apple tree, you're going to get what? All right. Yeah. All right? You're going to get the fruit that is part of that variety of tree, right? And if you go to a freshwater spring, you're going to get fresh water. Now, in Guyana, where I was at last, was it this year already? Yeah, this year. They don't call it fresh water, they call it sweet water. So I think there's parts of the world where they call fresh water sweet water. But you can't get fresh water and salt water out of the same spring. And likewise, a mature Christian doesn't praise God on Sunday and tear down his brother and sister in Christ on Monday. You can't have both coming out of the same well, out of the same spring. So the third principle is words flow from the heart, therefore keep your heart pure. Words flow from the heart, therefore keep your heart pure. Now, if we could just sanitize your tongue, you know, that. In fact, my mom used to do that. Okay, back in the days when you could wash your kid's mouth out with soap. Yeah, I remember that at least one time. One of my friends who used to cuss and swear. And then all of a sudden, I let one slip, and he tells my mom, and she believes him. Oh, man, I hated that. Still remember it. Probably cured me, so it must have worked. I think it was child abuse, but all right. But, you know, it's not so much our tongue that's evil. You know, if you were to open it up and analyze it, you're not going to find evil pouring out of that tongue, right? Jesus said, what did Jesus say in Matthew? Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from where? The heart. And these defile them. Jesus says, out of the heart, that's where all the thoughts, evil thoughts come. That's where the evil things that we say, all that stems from our heart. And if our heart is clean and pure, the words that come out of that spring, out of that source, are going to be so as well. But if our heart is unclean and we have unclean stuff in there, guess what? That's what's going to come out of that spring as well. Now, I've always been told that whatever's in the cup when you bump it is what's going to come out. Okay? Now, so what that means is that, you know, occasionally we get bumped, right? You know, somebody upsets us, somebody says something, and the first thing to fly out, that's what's inside the cup. So if it's like forgiveness and grace and mercy, then that's what's inside the heart. But if it's anger and vicious words, then maybe that's what's actually inside of our heart. And sometimes if we are able to think about it, we can say what we want to in a public place and fool people. But really, all things flow from the heart. It flows from the heart. And so we have to keep our heart pure because that's where all things flow from. You can't have good and evil flow out of the same vessel, the same source. So do you want your words to be refreshing? Do you want them to be fruitful? We have to check the condition of our heart. I'm going to have the musicians come this morning. Not a real long message, I guess, this morning. James just talks about maturity. And he's talked about maturity in a lot of different ways. But one of the things, because he addresses it so powerfully, is that people were saying things within the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, they weren't controlling their tongue, and it was bringing a lot of damage to the cause of Christ. And that can happen still in the church today, and it does happen. It does happen. You know, and our church is not immune from words that people say, well, either to one another or about people in the church. You know, sometimes I know that I don't agree with Pastor. Well, that's not the first time, okay? Or with somebody else. Hey, that comes with the territory. But it's not me that gets hurt, or it's not others that get hurt. Ultimately, who gets hurt? The cause of Christ does, doesn't it? The cause of Christ. And our words are just as important as our deeds. What we say and what we do, they must align with what Scripture calls us to, what God wants to accomplish in our heart. Christian maturity involves many things, but it also includes our speech. You know, it can guide, we must guide our words in a positive course, influencing others for Christ. I think that's the one that really, of all these points, that's the one that got me the most, just because When you think the power of words, well-crafted words and well-crafted speech, is very moving and very compelling. Have we surrendered that part of our life to God, that God can flow through us in that way? Whether it's to build somebody up, or whether it's to share Christ with somebody that needs to know about Him. But we have to make sure our heart is clean, and that spring is bubbling forth good things. Amen? God could use... what is his name? Edward? Where is he at here? Edward Kimball. To lead D.L. Moody to the Lord. You know what? He can probably use you in some very powerful ways. More than you probably realize. If you surrender that part of your life to God, say, God, have my speech. Allow it to edify others, to build people up, to point others to Christ, strengthen them, and not to tear people down, but to build people up. The tongue is a powerful thing, and our words are. Surrender them to God. Allow God to work through that in an incredible way. Amen? You guys are getting quiet on me. Father, this morning we just come to you. And Father, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the gift of speech and be able to communicate is a powerful thing. And we can use it in a lot of different ways. But often we can fall in the trap of this world, whether it is to gossip or just to say things in the heat of the moment. We get in a fight with our spouse or with our child or with a co-worker. They hurt us, and so the first thing we do is we lash back. We can't take those words back. Once they're spoken, there's no way to get them back. They do their damage. And Father, you've not called us to use our tongue in that way, but to bring healing, to direct the course of lives of others in a positive way, and to point people to Christ. And so Father, change and renew our hearts. Renew us, I pray, in the precious and the wonderful name of Jesus. We're going to close with the chorus this morning. I'm going to invite Victor and Yolanda if you would come. And Josh and Karen, if you have a need or a prayer request this morning, if you would come. And maybe you just say, you know what, I need to lay that tongue on the altar. I don't yet to whack it off or anything like that. Put it up here. But symbolically, maybe you know your own life. Okay? I have my own issues to take care of, okay? But if the Spirit of God is saying, you know what? The Spirit of God is saying, you know what? You need to work on that. Probably most of us, if we just go back over the last week or two, probably the last day or 24 hours, probably don't have to go very back very far to where we've said something that either hurt or was a form of gossip. It wasn't uplifting. And just surrender that part of God. Amen? Amen. Denise, lead to that. If you want prayer this morning, join us up at the front.